Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I am your host, Robin Misevich. And gosh, we're just so excited about tonight's conversation. I think it's just going to be very great. We have a special guest chef in the house. We have Cam Cosplay. Hey, Miss Cam, how's it going tonight?
It's going great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited. And we have our regular co-host, Miss Amy, is with us tonight, Amy Frost. Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I am excited to learn more.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about cosplay. And tonight's show is just really great. We're calling it the Culture of Cosplay, Bringing Art Alive. Cam Cosplay, which is Katie Misevich, how long have you been involved in cosplay, Kate?
I've been doing cosplay for about 6 years.
And how did you get started?
In and out and doing different characters. I got started, I learned about different animes and that kind of thing in high school, middle school, and I went to my very first convention in 2009, which is Anime Expo. It's one of the larger conventions that's located in California in Los Angeles. And the very first time I went there, I saw two of my very favorite characters were just regular people that were cosplaying, and they were just walking down the stairs together. And it was a meld of two completely different worlds, and getting to see them together was completely mind-blowing for me. And I was just like, yes, it's a wonderful experience. And then from that point on, I just really wanted to become a part of that entire world, and I've been cosplaying ever since.
What were the two characters?
The two characters that I saw were Naruto from the show Naruto, who is the lead, as well as Kingdom Hearts Sora, who is the main character of the game called Kingdom Hearts.
So they both video games?
So one is a video game and then one is an anime, and those are two completely different things. One is a television show. Anime is cartoons that are made in Japan. And that is what Naruto is just one example of many, many, many versions of that. And then video games, Kingdom Hearts is a video game that's made from Disney and Square Enix. And that is a really, really cool game that's been around for quite a while.
So when you saw those two characters, did you think, well, gosh, I can do this?
It wasn't so much that I can do this. It was more of I want to do this. It was regardless of the fact if I knew if I could or not. It was just something I really wanted to approach, because to be able to embody a character that you are just so fond of, I wasn't even realized was a thing other than Halloween until that point.
Well, just kind of backing up a little bit here. So cosplay actually means costume play. And I think it's interesting because depending on how much you know about it, if you know about anything at all, which I think is kind of interesting, it actually started back in 1939 in New York at a convention that they were having, where they were going to be talking about the World Science Fiction Convention. And it was just really, really interesting. So what happened was that they were having this futuristic costume thing that they had happening. They were talking about future concepts and things like that. And two of the people that came to this, this different discussion that they were having decided to come in costume. And boy, that just basically sparked all these people, because they started having it on an annual basis. And more people started coming in costume. And so pretty soon there were more people in costume than not. And that's basically how cosplay and how the whole thing got started. But cosplay itself got named back in the 80s when they had the guy's name is Nobuyuki Takayashi, and he basically had coined that when he had come to the LA convention and started calling it cosplay. So I think that's a kind of an interesting backstory that came with all that kinds of stuff. So is there anything along with that, Katie, that you'd like to add?
I think it's really interesting that it started in America, when the general idea is that it came from Japan. Anybody that I know that does cosplay generally thinks that it came from Japan. So that's really interesting to find that out.
Yeah, and I was looking at a little bit of the back history on that. Because once you start looking at it, it's just, like I said, looking at just all the different things that we have coming from the world history of everything. And the guy that actually started it, his name was, it was Forrest.
Forrest Gump. No.
Oh, let's see.
I don't know what happened. I just was saying they're wearing some costumes.
Yeah, Forrest. It was Forrest, and his name is Forrest Ackerman. That's Ackerman. He was 22 years old when he came to this conference. You know, this basically convention that they had, and his girlfriend at the time, which is Myrtle Jones, came, and they were the ones that basically came in the 25th century costumes. You know, and it was based on a 1936 sci-fi movie called Things to Come, which I think is kind of interesting. A lot of things to come when it comes to cosplay, that's for darn sure. And if you look at history in the Hollywood area, what's interesting about Forrest is he wound up being one of the largest collectors of sci-fi, horror, just the different genres of all those different movies that were coming out in just at the beginnings of film. And he's got over 400,000 different items in his museum. And it's really close to the Griffith Observatory over in Hollywood. You know, they got that Hollywood sign. You've got the Griffith Observatory right there. Just below that, there's actually the Ackerman Museum, and there's been a lot of really, just the love and passion. And it really just makes sense that when, you know, Ackerman created all those things, that it would blossom into something like cosplay, because it's just all about how, you know, movies and TV, you know, written in word of books and stories and things like that, how they really affect us. And I love how cosplay has really just inspired people to come from a very creative place. So, one thing I wanted to talk about, which is kind of, and I'd love for either one of you to jump in on the idea of this, is it takes a very interesting blend of personality, because it's really like you're introverted and extroverted at the same time. And you're having to be introverted in the art and the way you develop it and the craftsmanship, because there's so many skill sets to be doing cosplay. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, you may have to be a seamstress, you may have to be a fabricator, you know, you learn a lot of different schools of just different training. And then along with that, there's a certain aspect of that where you become a performer, because you want to take on a certain persona of that character when you're going around. So, Kate, you want to talk about that? Because some of the different things that you've had go on have been real interesting. So while we're talking, I'd love for people to go to her Facebook, which is Kem Cosplay, and you could see some of the different characters that she's done over the years. So you want to talk a little bit about just the dynamic of all those things coming together?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. There is a lot of different types of people who do cosplay. And I find it very sad. Most people who want to do cosplay don't even try to do it because they're scared that it won't turn out well or they don't have a skill set for it. But it's my belief that anybody can try, or at the very least, you know, give it a shot, because it's always worth doing. My very first costume I bought. I didn't even make my very first costume. I just wanted to get into the world as quickly as possible. And there is definitely a lot of very talented people who make costumes for other people who don't feel that they're able to make their own. So, but when I did do that, I had a lot of people compliment me on my very first costume that I dressed up as. And I wanted to be able to say that it was mine, because, you know, everybody wants that recognition, right? So for me, that was what made me make the move into making my own costumes the very next year. And from doing that, I've learned so many skill sets that I definitely wouldn't have learned otherwise. Most of my pieces that I make, I prefer to make armor pieces, just because armor is creates a new silhouette on the body. It's very impressive to a lot of people who see it. And it's definitely not something for everyday wear. It's usually something that you would only see at a very special occasion, like a convention. So most of my pieces are made of actually foam, EVA foam, which is basically when you go to the gym, there are the puzzle mats on the floor. I look at that and I make that into chest pieces and armor pieces or full weapons. And I'm able to take those with me to a convention and really open people up to that almost any material can be used for anything. And that's very exciting to me.
Yeah, I bet you can go into a hardware store and it's not basically what it's supposed to be on the shelf.
Oh, absolutely not. Lots of my pieces are definitely not used for what they're supposed to use. My most recent costume that I did is actually an android version of a robot from the game Portal, which Portal is basically a game that's, there's a test subject and there's a giant computer that's running amok, essentially. And I just love the personality of the giant robot computer, and I wanted to make that into a mobile version. So I made that into an android, and what I did was I took some dog collars that light up. They have little LEDs in them, and I went ahead and put one of those on my back so that way I could have a light-up spine in the back of on my back. And I just thought it was just that little extra thing that, you know, is very cool. People like lights and shiny things, so I definitely wanted to add that into it.
Yeah, if you also look at, it's really amazing to look at her, that android costume, because you didn't you have it where the face, the front piece of that could actually come on and off? How did you do that?
Yes, in the game, she doesn't really have a face. She has, it's kind of like a square shape with one yellow light that's like the eye, and I definitely wanted to keep that as part of the design because I wanted it to be recognizable to people who saw it. However, I didn't want to keep a mask on all day. That's not necessarily the most comfortable thing in the world. So what I did was I made it two pieces, and I used magnets, and I was able to put the mask on and off literally in an instant. And I surprised quite a few people because I also do special effects makeup with all of my things, one of the many skills that I just added on with all of my cosplay things. And I did special effects makeup as well as I had colored contacts, and people were just really amazed by it. And it's such a good feeling to have people really recognize all of the work that goes into it.
So what was the newest, because like one of the things that I learned with this whole cosplay stuff is that one of the things that cosplayers like to do is sometimes challenge themselves. They might have a character, something that they like, or they just say, wow, I wonder if I could make that. So what was the challenge with this current character that you put together?
With the current character that I did, it was basically the character that I chose doesn't have a body. It doesn't have a human form of any kind. And there's definitely, you can look up the character, and there's been people who emulate exactly that. It's quite amazing to see how much people want to do exactly what it is and recreate the exact character. But for me, I didn't want to hang myself from a rig or a ceiling like one cosplayer did for that particular character. So I decided to completely redesign and recreate the character. And that was a skill that I definitely hadn't used before. And it was just really looking at the images and deciding, you know, what is it about this that I can make more human and more relatable, but still keep in line with the design of the actual game. It's not a skill that everyone has, but I feel it's a skill that everyone can develop, definitely.
Hmm. Okay, great. Amy, do you have any questions for her?
Well, just a couple things come to me. First off is, I don't know that everybody has to develop it. I think it's something that maybe you could do some collaborating with others.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody has, right, the things that they're really good at, and so I think that's one of the things I suspect to happen for you at these conferences and at these events is that you meet people who are really good at different things maybe than you're really good at. And so even you can share and support each other. And I think that's a really lovely outcome of this field to me, is that it's a way for people to connect, right, and have something in common immediately.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is probably
That's the main reason that I cosplay in the first place, is it's just a really accepting and very community. I started in anime, so generally the shows that I go to are all anime-based, but not really the characters that I do. So I'll take a character from a video game that's definitely not one of these Japanese shows and still go to an anime convention. And I'm still accepted with open arms, and there's lots of different people who come up to me and say, oh, I really liked that game, or I really like how you did that character. I talk to other people, and just when I admire other people's costumes, and I'll ask them how they did it, what they made it out of, And even after this convention that I just came back from, I'm already getting messages from people who want to collaborate and do a costume together. There's many people who like to do what's called group cosplays, where they'll pick a certain group of characters and everybody will pitch in and they all help each other to make one really big image of several characters all together. And that's even more powerful, really.
So I have kind of, my second thing is maybe kind of an off the wall thing, but I think that's part of one of the reasons we want to have this, you know, topic brought up, is it's kind of confusing what's what. Is steampunk any part of this, or is that a whole different animal?
Is steampunk a part of it? Steampunk is a genre of costume play, of cosplay. Steampunk is basically the idea of, it's the Victorian era put in more of a science fiction way of thinking, and then everything that they use and everything that is made runs on steam. So you can have a ray gun, but it still runs on steam and electrodes. It's all very, it's very interesting. So it's like a Victorian science fiction cross. And there's a lot of people who take that genre and they'll add it to other characters that already exist. Like, I've seen plenty of Disney characters that have been made steampunk. You know, so it's really interesting. It definitely fits into the realm of cosplay, absolutely.
So how many different genres are there?
Oh, there's really countless. I couldn't even begin to tell you all the different types. But basically, it's any different type of thing that you can think of has been made into a cosplay at one point or another. Because you can take the same character and you can make it more regal, or you can make it more elegant, or you can make it a zombie hunter, or you could make it science fiction. And it literally can go across the span, and it could be the same character in all of these different types of genres, or portrayed in all of these different ways. And that's what makes cosplay so interesting, is because you get to see the same character that you may like portrayed by somebody else in a way that you never expected.
So what's kind of a new trend that you're seeing that you haven't really necessarily seen since you just got back from a convention? It was the AX in Los Angeles. What was a trend there that you hadn't seen before?
One thing that I noticed that I haven't really seen before until this year, which I found really interesting, was there was a lot of gender-bending cosplay, which gender-bending cosplay basically means that girls dress up as male characters and men dress up as female characters. And there was a lot more of that this year than I've seen in previous years. And I think that's just because that wall of that's not acceptable has definitely been shaken. And it's really kind of amazing and empowering to see all these people just feel really comfortable and fully accepted in wearing whatever they really want to wear, whatever character they really want to represent. And I think it's a great thing.
Well, so tell me a little bit about fandom.
About a fandom. So a fandom is when you are a fan of a particular movie, show, series, anything like that, books, anything that can have a fan. A fandom is when all of those people come together to appreciate the same thing. So at Anime Expo, the fandom is generally about anime, but that goes into a million subcategories, because I personally am a huge Sailor Moon fan, so I would be in the Sailor Moon fandom, as well as I cosplayed from the game Portal, which would put me in the Portal fandom, and it goes on and on to a million different things, to even individual characters have their own fandom. It's just a group of people who enjoy the same thing.
So if somebody didn't necessarily know about conventions and things like that, what would you tell them to, just for helping them to kind of understand the basic thing, and then, you know, maybe having them kind of know what they'd be walking into?
Sure. So when you go to a convention, it's basically a group of people who all appreciate the same thing. And to me, it's being very respectful of all of those people when you go in, and going with an open mind when you go in, because there's definitely a lot of people who may have perspectives on characters that you would have never thought of and maybe don't appreciate as much as they appreciate it, but it's still something that you should look at with an open mind. When I go to conventions, I definitely like to talk to people as much as I can to learn about things that I don't know, wear comfortable shoes, because it's a lot of walking, and just go to have a good time more than anything. It's to connect with people and appreciate the same kinds of things.
Yeah, it seemed like we had a program that we were looking at from the the AX event that they had. Lots of premieres for different animation that was happening. They were having a lot of panel discussions, having like a greet and meets with some celebrities and things like that. So anything else that would be something people would know would be something they could go and check out?
It really just depends on what people are into. They have a million different events for a million different people. It's the most busy it's ever been this year. Last year, they had a turntable count of 220,000 people. This year, it was above that. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing at how high it's rising, and so many people are interested in it. So, I mean, it's really just do your research just a little bit to figure out what it's all about, and if you find anything you like, there's probably something for it. So you could definitely check that out and find new friends and new people to hang out with who appreciate the same things as you.
Yeah, get there early so you can get a good parking space.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely probably one of them.
Yeah, yeah. So what's on the horizon for things that you're knowing about for the cosplay and things that are happening in the next, say, 6 months to a year?
Well, the next things for me personally, I feel that challenging myself as much as possible is always a requirement. I like to do things bigger and better and more vibrant and just eye-catching because that's what I enjoy. And I definitely only like to do characters that either visually interest me or that I personally am a huge fan of. So for me, it's finding the very next thing that I'd like to make a costume of and then the construction and then showing that at the next convention that I go to. So I have a few conventions that I have lined up. I'm going to be attending Anime California, which is in September, and I'm very excited about that. It'll be the Long Beach Convention Center. But other than that, I pretty much just play it by ear, and if I have people who want me to go to certain conventions, I'm more than happy to try to fix my schedule to do so. But it's just to go and have fun and just keep challenging myself to make bigger and better things.
Yeah, I want to encourage everybody again to go to KEM, K-E-M, Cosplay, if you want to go ahead and be checking out anything that Kate's got going on with all that, and be able to leave her a message and things like that, too. And just going to the general Google and looking up cosplays and things like that. So Comic-Con's coming up.
Yes, it is. There's generally more than one Comic-Con. The consensus is that when people say Comic-Con, they think about Comic-Con San Diego, which is definitely one of the largest Comic-Cons in the area. However, there is a lot of different Comic-Cons all over the place happening all of the time. So I personally don't usually go to Comic-Con just because it is even bigger than the 220,000 people that I just mentioned. Huge. And to even try to get in, it's like no one can get a ticket because everyone's already going. So it's definitely something I'd love to put on my list, but as of right now, I haven't been able to go. So
yeah, and then that one's based more on comic books, right? And then I guess that's the way that one basically got started was through Marvel and
and DC, absolutely.
And DC Comics, yeah, and based in those kinds of things. And same kind of thing, it's that themed genre, and then it moves into just everybody kind of coming in costume and people enjoying people's creativity of, you know, what they're going to do. I had heard that there was a Pikachu. It was like, for people who don't know, Pikachu was from Pokemon, which is, again, just a Japanese book. Pokemon, how long has that been around?
Pokemon is actually celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. It is an anime.
Oh, wow.
And I watched it as a kid growing up. So that actually is one of the costumes that I debuted this last weekend. I was the Pokemon Rapidash, which is basically a flaming unicorn, which is very awesome.
Wow.
And I went ahead and just put my spin on that. And there was definitely plenty of people with Pokemon meetups and all that kind of thing. So that's very cool.
Well, kind of coming along with Comic-Con, you know, Deadpool, that movie came out earlier this year. and you know, having him as one of the you know, the comic heroes. Wasn't there a guy there that was, he was a Pikachu pool. He had a Deadpool head, yes, on, you know, head, yes, on, and then his body was like a onesie that looked like Pikachu.
Yes. Pikapool is the nickname.
He was
of
a Pikapool.
So that's basically what I love about cosplay so much, is it's two completely different worlds. And that person, whoever that person is, kudos to them for figuring that out. But you can combine any series or any genres, anything that you want to do, to have the most fun that you can, and really emulate the characters that you like best.
So one of the things that I love about Kim is that she, with the characters, you'll make props to go along with your stuff. So you want to talk a little bit about some of the props and stuff you've made for characters?
Sure. So I have made several characters, and I personally like having a prop because it makes it more of a complete costume for me. I just like to have that little extra piece of something, especially if people want to take photos with me. Most times I'll let them hold my prop, and it lets them into that world a little bit, and to get to see them be excited to hold that prop is just, it's really fun for me. So most of my props are made from the EVA foam that I mentioned earlier, and I personally am a huge fan of power tools. It's definitely something that runs in the blood. And yeah, I just use different power tools to change all the foam to be the way that I need it to. And I do different sealants and different paintings. And that way it's super lightweight. It's not very fragile, and it can hold up to all of the stress of going to a convention.
Cool. So there's some really wonderful books that are out lately. If anybody's want to be interested in that, I'll go ahead and have Andy go ahead and put it at transformation-cafe.com. We've got one called Cosplay, the Fantasy World of Role Play. And there's also Cosplay Magazine and all that different kinds of stuff. So it's real interesting to see, you know, because like some of these people are actually professional full-time cosplayers.
They are, yes.
Is that one of your... goals for the future is to be full-time, or?
Oh, absolutely. I think it'd be phenomenal. So, yes. So, basically, for a professional cosplayer, what they end up doing is they will get either paid to go to conventions to have a booth and talk to people about what it is that they do, or they'll get contacted by actual companies that make these different games or shows or that kind of thing to make a costume of one of their characters and then go to a convention before the show comes out or before the game comes out or with the game. So that way there's a full body representation of what it is that they're going to present. So people can get excited about it and see, like, oh, that's from that new thing coming out. It's very cool. And they end up getting paid in order to do that, to become that character for that company. It's very cool.
Well, my wish is that you get that. You find those characters and be able to be somebody who could really be out there supporting that stuff. So, as always, 30 minutes just goes by. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining us and being a great guest chef. And thank Amy as well. Just want to remind everybody to go to transformation-cafe.com if you want to go ahead and check out more. We'll have some photos and different information about cosplay. And just really want to congratulate cosplay. It's Los Angeles. It's their 25th anniversary for their conventions that they've been having. And cosplay is actually about 77 years old. So it may feel like it's a new phenomenon, but it's something that's just growing by leaps and bounds. And boy, if you want to put on a costume, and it doesn't have to be Halloween, and go to a convention and just be there with an open mind, like Kate said, and have a place of being in the place of just creativity and appreciating people and their skill sets that they do. So thank you again, Katie, for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
You're welcome. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.